You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Guys, Mike T is back with us. Mike Tannenbaum, we've been playing this sound today a little bit, reacting to it. Because after the game, Patriots beat the Bills 14-10, threw the ball three times, completed two passes against the Bills, but ran it 46 times for better than 200 yards. And Sean McDermott, Bill's head coach at the postgame press conference, was asked what he thought of Bill Belichick's game plan.
Shots on the broadcast of you very visibly frustrated and animated. How would you just explain the psychological component of coaching against Bill Belichick, especially when he's doing something like that, just running the ball constantly?
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us. Right, but you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone. You give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football.
Mike T, when I hear that, what I'm interested in is you're the GM of a team and your coach says that, which to me not only is saying, hey, I out-coached him, but his players executed and mine didn't. The more I listen to it, the more I hear him throwing his team under the bus. You're the GM of a team. Your coach says that. What do you think?
Yeah, those are conversations that hopefully you have a lot of equity where it's a partnership and you could just close the door and say, hey, man, you're frustrated, you're pissed. Like, come see me. Like, that's what I'm here for. Like, get anything off your chest. Like, we used to do that. You know, any of the coaches I work with, we used to joke. We have couch in my office for a reason. Close the door and let it rip. You know, what's ever on your mind. Media, players, agents, owner, whatever is getting you upset. And Sean McDermott's done a great job, but obviously he was frustrated. And let's face it, like, for the other coaches, and I lived in the AFC East for over 20 years, there's a little Bill Belichick fatigue, which is, you know, if you're Sean McDermott, every day you're getting up answering a question about, can you beat New England? Can you get over the hump? Can you beat Bill Belichick? And I'm sure last night they had a massive opportunity. They had the better quarterback, the bigger quarterback. They're at home, home field advantage, and they lost. And that was probably about 9 months of frustration pouring out of his soul in that answer.
Belichick fatigue key because he's wearing them out. He's been wearing them out for 20 years.
It's not even he's wearing them out for 20 years. The moment that he gave you an option to rent the conference, you rented it, but you thought you could buy it from him with an option. And Belichick said, nah, you know what? This offseason, I'm going to rethink how I want to lay this conference out. I'm going to go and I'm going to spend some money. I'm going to remodel the whole entire team. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to get my house back.
And taking house, it off the market.
My house is the conference. I'm taking it off the market. When Sean McDermott actually thought, oh, we're going to buy this beautiful house called the AFC Conference. I mean, or better yet, the AFC Division East. It's like, well, no, because much like you said, you were 1-4 in the red zone against their 0-1 in the red zone, but you to take advantage of your opportunities that was given to you in Bill B. did.
But see, Mike, this is why I get frustrated at the Bills, right? Because I just don't feel personnel-wise like they're built to win. Like, they're not committed to the run game. And, you know, we were talking about in the earlier hour, Zach Moss, you talk about Singletary. Those are just tiny guys. I mean, 5'7", 5'9". Like, you know, I go back to Javonte Williams, a guy that plays for the Broncos that was a bell cow that obviously last Sunday had a huge game even though they lost. I'm like, there's a back for you that can run in between the tackles, can punish you. And I don't know why – they're still not trying to find a way to do that aspect of their game instead of just having Josh Allen try to do everything.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And to take that same thought, go to the other side of the ball. Like, here's a fatal flaw, and I've been there, guys, on both ends of this. When you can't stop the run on defense, there is nothing worse in the NFL. And the Indianapolis Colts, did you hear what Frank Reich said after they played him? He's like, once I realized they couldn't stop Jonathan Taylor, he called 19 consecutive runs on first and second down. Bill Belichick was running the ball in pregame. He was running the ball during the game. He was running the ball when they were flying back to Foxborough. The big key now for Buffalo is every other opponent's going to try the same thing. Yep. And players like Tremaine Edmonds, who's great in space, great athlete, he's going to have to take on a fullback. He's going to have to take on – because teams are going to run the ball against Buffalo until they can't.
Yeah, and the thing is, from Buffalo's standpoint, from an offensive side on for the ball for them, they wanted to show that Josh Allen could play in that weather, and that was where they made their mistake. They should have realized from an offensive standpoint to run the ball with Singletary and Zach Moss. Force your will on them, just like the New England Patriots did to them. Rather than – say to themselves, we're going to throw into the wind because we got the big, strong quarterback that can pierce it through there. You make mistakes by doing that. The conversion rate was not as high as they wanted it to be. If they were now getting to second and medium, third and short, like New England, they would have converted so many first downs and being able to push the ball down the field at will instead of getting there and now having no answer when they get to the 25-yard line.
So
no answer.
Mike T, so Bill Belichick has asked, was this morning? On how he was feeling. Yeah, it must have been because it was after the win last night on WEEI, yeah, the Greg Hill show. So it was this morning. He was asked on how he was feeling. Listen to Belichick, who must have known what McDermott said post-game by now. Listen to Belichick's response.
Doing well. How are you this morning?
Yeah, a little run down, but good. Good. Late last night, but a good one.
Little run down, but good. He's referring to the run game there, right? I cannot 100%. Take that literally, right? Oh, Belichick, like that's my if I'm the GM, Mike, if I'm in your position and he was my coach, I'd be like, I might have to be like, by the way, when you do that, you're just giving it to him. You're giving it to him, right? Like you're reacting and being reactive to reactionary to the media and everything.
I totally get that, Max. There was something that happened last night that was weird after the game. Did you see Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, who are two really good? Like they had a thing with the media too. I think what we saw last night was institutional angst of like everything Key just talked about. Like we're the Buffalo Bills. This is our division. And I think what they got hit in the face last night. And boy, I think what McDermott said and Poyer and Hyde, like they had really bad body language after the game.
Mike, when we get into heavy personnel, though, why are we in heavy personnel jumbo packaging, but they're in a sub package almost on the defensive side? Is it that they don't have the personnel? Because if N'Keal Harry's the only receiver on the field, then we only gonna put one DB on the field. We're gonna have a strong safety and a load of linebackers to stop the run. But for whatever reason, that wasn't the case, it seemed like, many times with Buffalo last night.
Yeah, Key, I think Coach Belichick, the genius sometimes is in his simplicity. Six offensive linemen and a fullback. And until you stop it, we're going to keep doing it. Like, it wasn't like they didn't even try to fake it. Like, there weren't a lot of misdirection. There weren't a lot of boots. There weren't a lot of reverses. It was like, here we come. And I totally agree, Key. Like, I was shocked that there was no adjustment made. Because really, if you think about it, if you're playing 11-on-11 football, Buffalo should have won by three scores because Josh Allen is such a better runner than Mac Jones.
They were playing goal line football in the middle of the field is what they were doing. Like you said, one fullback, couple tight ends, the big receiver, which essentially to me is a tight end. But they had secondary guys out there when you shouldn't have that. If it's any pass play and it's man-to-man, your corner should be able to cover N'Keal Harry. Your linebackers or your strong safety should be able to cover any tight end that release. That's what it should be. And if they run the ball, you got enough girth and size to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage. But they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't do that.
Yeah, and now the question is, like, will other teams try to attack Buffalo the same way? Like, to me, like, that is a flaw that until they fix it, could really hurt them.
Well, Bill Belichick was asked about, also on the Greg Hill show on WEEI, the game plan the next time the Patriots see the Bills.
Bill, since the weather made it such a wild game, will you be able to take anything from that to use film-wise when you go to prepare for them at the end of the month?
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. We can use our whole passing game. all the pass plays that we have, they haven't seen, so we can use all of them next time we play them. That game plan's already been made.
By the way, you know what I love about it, Mike? You didn't hear Bill Belichick giggle one time when he said that. Everybody else was giggling, right? And you can say that's dry humor in his behalf.
So dry
but
humor.
But it's also telling you the truth. It's like sheer fact.
That's what's
and
funny
it's delivery about,
it. About
it, right?
That's what's funny about
it's
it.
It's incredible. It's like, yeah, this is actually, they haven't seen anything of what we've been able to do in a passing game because we carried the ball 46 times.
This is, Mike T, what you just said. Like, Jay, like, when you say the genius is in the simplicity, not everyone who keeps it simple is genius, but there's a certain way that Bill Belichick is able to keep it simple. And when you go, why did he do this? You're like, oh, yeah, duh. Well, why doesn't everyone do that? He's able to keep it, like, classic.
I'll never understand. That's why I just read what the coach sent me about. It's not that Bill Belichick is a genius. He's anti-genius. It's the fact that he's smart enough to realize, hey, that wind is blowing. I might want to run the ball because they can't stop me.
Do what Simple. You do. Do what you do.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Deion Sanders is on the Goodyear hotline in 20 minutes. So, for now, from one former Alabama quarterback and Mac Jones to the current Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young. Bryce Young will likely become the first quarterback under Nick Saban to win the Heisman. But in a down year for quarterbacks, in the draft, you know, Young is not eligible to enter. Our NFL draft expert, Mel Kiper Jr., says if Bryce Harper was eligible right now, he wouldn't have to wait long to hear his name called. Here is Mel Kiper. Darian Mel on Bryce Young and his placement in the draft.
He would be the number one player on the board at any position by a significant margin. And at quarterback, it would even be worth discussing because there's no quarterback in his
So Bryce
field.
Young would be the number one player in the draft, the number one draft pick if he was eligible this
by
year.
A wide margin, in my opinion. He's a quarterback number one. He's a great quarterback, more importantly. In this show today, which we're only an hour plus into, he's drawn comparisons to Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. That tells you all you need to know about Bryce Young.
And I called him Bryce Harper. By the way, I'm going to do that more than once in the future. Like Russell Wilson, Russell
names,
Westbrook, here
man.
It comes. Bryce Young, of course, is who I was referring to. Mike T, what do you think about Bryce Young?
So I was at the game on Saturday in Atlanta, and I'll tell you, from a just breaking it down scouting report standpoint, he has tremendous arm strength, unbelievable accuracy and ball placement. He is really smart and can process information. On his 11-yard touchdown run, Georgia's playing man-to-man, and how quickly he recognized the defense, and he took off, it was impressive. He is well-coached, and he has great talent. But he is small. And the part that I disagree with Mel's assessment is, over time, the bigger quarterbacks last. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and we've seen Tua Tagovailoa get hurt. We've seen Joe Burrow get hurt. And I know Kyle Murray's an exception, but Kyle Murray's
already been hurt too.
He's been hurt. So,
many times.
Yeah. So to me, I like him, but my gosh, he has to live in that weight room in the offseason because that would be a big concern of mine.
What's the weight you think he needs to get to? They say he's listed now at 195. When I look at him, I'm like, I'm 195.
185.
I'm 195. And I know how I'm built. He don't look like he's 195. So what would be a legitimate weight for him to get to in order to have sustainability at the NFL level?
195.
The problem, I think, and Mike knows this, the problem with him, let's assume he's 185 for conversation's sake. If you start trying to tip him over 200 pounds, you now lose what he is, okay? His ability to move around. Because he's not going to be able to put on that type of mask in a short period of time. He's just not. His body, his frame doesn't allow that. It just doesn't. I mean, he is extremely thin. And I've seen him in high school. And in fact, we had on his head coach at the beginning of the season. And the one thing that Nick Saban talked about was he didn't really know how he would hold up. You know, he was like, well, you know, he's a little small, but, you know, he's really good. And so we see that. You see it up close in person, Mike. He would be the number one overall pick. If you could stretch him a little bit and widen him out, by far, man.
Mike.
Best dude I've seen in man, I know we talk about Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence and all that. Just close your eyes and don't think about the size. Best dude I ever seen in college football as a quarterback.
Really, best ever.
That I've ever seen.
But without respect to size.
Without respect to size. Yeah,
yeah. By the way, this whole year we've been saying there isn't a generational quarterback in this year's draft coming up. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy how it just kind of came out of, you start looking at the numbers. It's like almost,
he's not in this draft.
I understand.
Yeah.
But still, we weren't even if he wasn't in this draft, though, Max.
No, here's
we
would have
been talking about him from the top of the season in that kind of manner.
I have a question for you, Mike. So Key brings up an interesting point to me. Not just the height, right? And even if he lived in the weight room, you can put on mass, but some guys' skeletons are just small. Like, they're small boned.
He
looks small boned.
Yeah, no, that's part of the draft process is you look at them anatomically, how much weight, and is it good weight, to Key's point. But when you look at guys like Russell Wilson, Kyle Murray, like, they're thicker in the lower body, and Russell Wilson is a strong guy.
Mesomorph.
Yeah. And to me, like, with Bryce Young, like, again, I want the Chevy Tahoe. I want the Escalade. I want guys that are built to last. That was something that Coach Parcells talked about for 25 years. And there's a reason Ben Roethlisberger has made this long. There's a reason Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning. Like, there's a reason. Like, you look at Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a chrome. Like, he's played at a high level.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's big dudes, man.
Yeah, they are big dudes.
Yeah.
And outside of, and Mike knows this because he's done the draft for 1,000 years, outside of Kyler Murray, them type of size dudes ain't going in the first round like that, man.
Yep.
They get the – Doug Flutie could play in the NFL. Pat White could have played in the NFL. Russell Wilson is going into the Hall of Fame. He went in the third damn round.
Yeah, and okay? Also Russell
they
Wilson.
They just don't – that's just not what they do.
How about Jalen Hurts is 6'1", 225 pounds.
And he looked
yes.
Yeah, but like Jalen Hurts, Drew Brees, second rounders for a reason.
Exactly.
Because they were short.
And they're going to push him. The NFL is going to push him down. The only way that Bryce Young becomes the number one overall pick is if Bill O'Brien all of a sudden gets the head coaching job and get in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And
Bill O'Brien says, I had him. I know what he is. Cliff Kingsbury-ish, sort of, kind of, air raid. I'm doing this because I think it's going to work. I know it's going to work. Lincoln Riley's a friend of mine. I get it.
Yep.
This is going to work for us.
And here's the other thing, though, Key, but when you do that, and let's say you go four wide and you try to spread out, he's going to have a lot of balls batted down because, you know, like, Key, they're going to push the pocket, get their hands up. And, again, I'm not trying. I loved him. I was so impressed watching him.
Maybe he grows.
He was.
Yeah, maybe. He's only 20.
One other quick point I wanted to make, guys, is I think we've underrated this whole Mac Jones narrative. Mac Jones kept this guy on the bench a year ago. Like, Nick Saban's going to play the best player. And when you see how great Bryce Young's been in college, think about the fact that Mac Jones beat him out.
It's interesting.
Well,
maybe Mac Jones had every passing record.
Yeah, but Mac Jones was older. I could see that. Bryce Young was coming from the prom.
But you know, like, unlike other coaches, like, Nick Saban's going to play the best player.
Yeah.
You know, and like I was watching that game thinking, like,
it was close, though, Nick said. He said it was really close.
Right. Hey, my point, Key, is like when I'm watching Bryce Young dominate this great Georgia defense, I'm like, my gosh, like, and I like Mac Jones a lot, but it's still remarkable that he went 15.
Yeah, Mac Jones is not, the ball isn't coming off of Mac Jones' wrist the way it is coming off.
Flicks it.
Yep. It just looked different. That's all I'm saying.
The other thing was 40 yards down the field, the accuracy was unbelievable.
I'm so glad
that's the Rodgers comparison. So glad
he decommitted from USC, though. I'm so glad he did. Because if he'd have gone to USC, we wouldn't even probably we'd have screwed him up.
You wouldn't know what to do.
We wouldn't know what to do with him.
You know, football, basketball selects out for height. There's a reason guys who are, like, you know,
7'6".
Yeah, like, go first. Yeah, exactly. Football selects out for size. I mean, it's a real thing, obviously. There's a reason for that. So Dan Orlovsky on Get Up said the following about where Bryce Young would go if he were eligible to be drafted this year.
Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Oh, number one.
Absolutely. Number one pick in the draft. Yeah.
And Houston's got the one pick right now. Houston would be ecstatic about it because Bryce Young reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers. Just the flick of the wrist, the ability to, you know, make those throws from the pocket where his feet are a little bit scattered, yet accuracy and velocity. His creativity as a runner is spectacular. The awareness, where everything, he's going so fast, but everything around him seems like it's going so slow. He will be the number one pick in the draft in 2 years, but he would be one this year.
Can I go?
Your floor.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we all love Dan, but, like, Carson Wentz was, you know, the best player since John Elway. Sam Darnold was going to go to Carolina and be the league MVP. I mean, we love Dan, but, my gosh, like, a million things. Like, we don't know who the first pick in the draft is going to be this year, next year. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen. And there's reasons to like him. And again, I love Dan, but gosh, I wish he evaluated me coming out. I may have been an NFL player.
Yeah, well, Dan is excited about the situation, but there's a lot of things that factor into a guy like this being the number one overall pick. And I mentioned it a minute ago. You have to have somebody who has conviction on who he is and feel good about the situation. If we get into four wides and empty personnel all the time, like Mike talked about, you got defensive linemen that are bat balls down because of his height. He's at a disadvantage. There is a reason that the smaller quarterbacks are pushed down in the draft and big, giant Carson Wentz's of the world, Justin Herbert's of the world are elevated up, the Vinny Testaverde's, because you want to be able to see that guy deliver that football when it come out. I played with Doug Flutie in the Pro Bowl. You know how hard as hell I'm running across. I'm like, there's the ball, because I can't even see him.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's different. I wish he could become the number one overall pick, and I hope that he does. But I don't know unless he get a special situation like Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Because, again, if we were running a franchise, guys, we want something that, within reason, has a chance to have sustainability, and history is just going to cut against Bryce Young. And knowing his character, he'll do everything he can within reason to get bigger and stronger. But every team, and that's why I would push back on Dan, like, if you're running a team, you're taking a risk.
Now, it's not the same thing because, Jay, I'm sorry, it's not the same thing because sports select out basketball for height, football for size. But, like, there are exceptions to every rule. And I think about Mookie Betts right now, one of the best players you ever see is 5'9". I know baseball doesn't select out for it the same way, but it's not like size doesn't matter in baseball.
Little,
it does.
It's a little bit different, though, Max, because when I have some defensive lineman that's 300 pounds.
Yeah, it can end your, your season just like that.
I remember, and you remember this too, Eddie Canty, I think that was his name. He was with us. Mm-hmm. He was small, like little. They were going to find the next Wayne Corbett with us.
What's small?
Dude, that dude might have been 5'7", 150.
Oof. In the NFL.
And Charlie Weiss wanted him out of Delaware State or one of them Delaware schools. They had him on kickoff return.
Oh,
but he was quick and stuff. Yeah, he got hit. Coach Parcells goes, yeah, I feel bad. That guy's going to get killed in this league, man.
Yeah.
And we couldn't, because it was so small that you just felt like, man, if somebody get a hold of this dude.
Yeah.
And he would have, maybe he would have worked out, maybe not.
All it takes is one, though, guys. You know, I remember Jerry Reinsdorf would talk about this back in the day. It's like, hey, you know, other people can have their consensus. It just takes one GM to say, and he would always say, there's always one.
And you get Steph Curry.
You know what I mean? True. Yeah, he always one that believes they could find the next Steph Curry, they could find the next Kyler Murray.
But even like the Steph Currys, I think the context here is really important. Like, he was not the first pick overall.
No.
And he willed himself and worked himself into someone that was sustainable. And to me, again, like Jalen Hurts, Drew, like those second-round quarterbacks work their way into having a long career. When you draft someone overall number one, like we're having questions about Saquon Barkley. Look what he looks like.
Thank you, Mike T, as always. A Super Bowl champion who may have just won an even more important title.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline, and we are now joined by the greatest cornerback who ever lived and Jackson State head coach right now, Deion Sanders. Prime, what's going on?
First of all, I'm a little upset with all three of y'all. I watch you every morning practically, and you guys are reducing me down to radio. or I want to see my face, man. Like I want to see you guys when I talk to you. I want to see your mannerism. You know, I love me some Keyshawn from day one. At the box, I've been loving him. And Jay brings it. What keeps it 100, Max? Since you all got up in there, it's off the chain. I love it.
Yeah, I'd rather have you. Hey, Prime, I'd rather have you on TV too. But you know, you got to wake up, man. You know, we trying to let you get your rest.
Hey Sam, get me on with them next week. I don't care. We're in Atlanta before the game. So during the week, sometime I got to get on. I got to be seen with them.
Done.
That's done. But Prime, you know, you got your own reality show on TV every day. Like on social media, it's crazy the amount of clips I see of you and what you're doing with your team. It's really incredible, man.
We don't have no budget. We don't have no school budget. So I got to do what I got to do. I got to stay visible. I got to keep these kids' faces out there. We don't. It ain't like we have a budget, man.
Yeah, no, I know it's, but that's why it's amazing to have somebody like you in their lives. Because when you think about it, man, you won the SWAC title this year with no budget, like you said. And when you think about it, it's amazing that you, in your second year, you can go 10-1, take care of business. How difficult was it at times, considering you did miss a little bit of time?
Well, I tell you what, going back to the spring, that was the toughest time because we knew we had the coaches, we knew we had everything we needed, but we didn't have the personnel. So literally, we let over 70 guys go. We had to, because we needed the guys that are smart, tough, fast, disciplined, with character. And we brought in a bunch of new guys because we missed on quite a few athletes. You got to understand, that was during the pandemic where you couldn't go to their homes and you couldn't see them face-to-face. It was a lot of stuff over Zoom. You can't Zoom character, you know. You can't Zoom smart. You can't Zoom tough, fast, and disciplined. You can't Zoom that stuff. So we missed on a few guys that spring, but we got it right for the fall, and we couldn't wait to show what we have because a lot of guys we had recruited for that remarkable class weren't eligible. I can't wait till you hear this class. This class is going to take it up another level. We're good right now, but we got an opportunity when we sign all these kids to be great. We really got an opportunity to be great.
Prime, I know that you guys are going to be obviously balling out, but how do you feel about all this movement that's been happening in college coaching?
Wow.
From Lincoln Riley to Brian Kelly? The amount of money is incredible.
I'm happy because there's so much, so many resources in college football. You know, Key knows that, man, especially coming from a major program like USC. It's incredible. I love it. A lot of people are upset because the minority is not getting the same opportunities as others. But you got to understand, a lot of these guys that are going from place to place and to these majors, they're proven as well, man. Say it like it is, man. They're proven. They've done it. They've been there. We just want some the minorities to just at least be on the list, man. Just get the interview. Let's get the interview. Give us the darn interview.
Something. For crying out loud, but an interview.
Just give us the interview. I mean, even your network, which I love. You're putting us on ESPN2. You're putting us on ESPN. We played on all your networks. But when you do SportsCenter, can we get a darn mention? We just played on your network and we can't get a mention. Mm. I don't understand that concept. How can we play on the network and don't even get a mention of our score? Just put us on the ticker. That's all we want. And we're good.
Yeah, I don't get it sometimes. Our network, other networks, other ADs, presidents across the country, because you are a friend of mine, but I know your character. I know your ability to motivate, but I also know your intelligence as a football coach and as a football player. But not to be seriously considered after a magical season at one of these real jobs out there, it's mind-boggling to me. Let me ask you this, Prime, because you played in a couple Super Bowls, won a couple Super Bowls. How does the SWAC title compare to your Super Bowls that you won?
Keyshawn, you know what? That's a great question, my brother. Nothing compares to it. I mean, I love the Super Bowls. They were great. I love even competing in the World Series, although we didn't win. But all the work that goes in. You got to understand, you got to be Tyler Perry at HBCU. You got to write the show, produce the show, act in the show, sell the show. You got to do everything at HBCU. It's not an easy task because of the lack thereof of resources. So nothing compares to what we accomplish together this season. The coaching staff, the support staff, the young men that play for me, nothing compares in my life. And then my kids are here, dog. My kids are on the darn team. So not only am I winning, but my babies are winning and they're maturing, and I get to see them play. I can't take my eyes off the game because the quarterback and the safety's on the field, so I can't take my eyes off the game.
It's amazing. You're listening to someone who said nothing compares to it. He said, played in a World Series. By the way, Deion just didn't play in a World Series. Deion's a hell of a baseball player, leadoff man, center fielder.
That ain't even the kicker. The kicker is I played in a football game, got in a damn helicopter to go play in a
baseball game. Yeah, ridiculous. But also, there are so few players in any sport ever who achieved the level of greatness Deion did, not just Hall of Famer, I'm talking about the inner sanctum, upper echelon, who went back and coached. Like, that's not something that almost anyone who has ever touched Deion's level, very few ever have, usually has gone to do.
Prime.
And Deion, you're saying this is the best experience ever. I'm sorry, Jeff.
No,
man, I can't lie to you. It is. This is what I can't stand, guys, Jay, Keith, Max. This is what I can't stand. A lot of these movements that has transpired with a lot of these coaches, I'm happy and elated, especially I'm happy them taking the financial aspect of it up because we coming. When I say we, several African Americans that can do the job. But who do you think doing all the recruiting?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not even a question.
Okay. When you know that, I just hate that these guys that's doing all the legwork are not getting identified. At least put them up, man. Break them off. Do something. Give them the light. Let them shine or something, because you get in the bag, but you got all these other dudes that you know who doing the work to go into these homes, because every college football roster comprises of at least 70% of African Americans. And who's going in those homes, locking them down, securing them, building that relationship, building that trust? We are.
Mm-hmm. And Prime, I wanted to say thank you. I saw you did something the other day in which you dropped knowledge on, and obviously it caught a lot of chatter on social media, but you bringing Brittany Rayner in and just having her discuss how she has people in her DMs and how she goes about that process. Like, what makes you think outside the box to do things like that to prepare your young athletes to better help them navigate off-the-field decisions, which we know are probably even more important than on-the-field decisions?
Hey, you know, one thing about men, we're so prideful that we don't talk. But if we ever talked and discussed things, we would be so much farther than we are today. And the things I've been through, I'm pretty sure the things Keith been through, the things Max, things you've been through, no one talks about it. I would be $20 million probably stronger in my account if I had somebody teach me that kind of game when I was in college. Mm. At least. A lot of mistakes I made. When I was supposed to stay right, I took a left, thinking this was that and it wasn't that. And I had no one to teach me that game, especially from the female perspective of what's what. And when she came in and brought that game, first of all, the commonality is that she attended Jackson State. She was a all-SWAC performer in soccer. They won the SWAC championship. She fell in love after her sophomore year and left college to follow this dude. Broke her heart and all that. She ain't saying all that, but that's the real of it. And that's why she's kind of tough-minded right now. But for her to come back and put my youngsters up on game, it was phenomenal. And some of the questions that were exchanged was phenomenal. I think like that because that's been my life. And no one's ready to tackle that kind of stuff that we fall to the trappings of life. That's one of the trappings of life. We're not going to get around that, especially right now in this Instagram social media society. That's all everyone's doing, trying to get off in them DMs. I got to protect my kids, which I mean, not my sons, but everybody that plays for me that's in this program. I got to protect them and correct. Everybody's not going pro, but they're going to have a relationship. Mm.
You have just listened to one of the greatest athletes in the history of the planet Earth, who's now giving back to the game he loves so much. Key?
Tell your boy I said congratulations on Player of the Year, too.
Oh, thank you, my man. Thank you. You know, the thing about it, Keith, guys like you whenever we get opportunity, I always like you to just pour into them.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Things that you know from the receiver's perspective, from the maturation perspective that you guys are. I like you guys to talk to him because he needs to see other levels and avenues of success because you guys are very successful and you have a voice.
Mm. That is Deion Sanders, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Prime, thanks a million. Keyshawn, and by the way, we're going to get him back next week, apparently.
Yeah, appreciate yeah, see y'all next week for sure. Sam, make this happen.
Yeah,
you know,
there
I love
it is.
Team, man.
All right, baby. All right.
Deion make this happen.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Dr. Pepper, call in line 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. The question all day has been described last night's Monday Night Football game in two words. Earlier in the show, we got three-word descriptions. We got fake-word descriptions. The assignment is not that hard. Who's going to tell me I understood the assignment here? Randy in Georgia, you're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What you got?
Morning, fellas.
Morning, Randy. Morning. What's up?
Hey, my two words are paint drying. Appreciate y'all.
Paint drying. It's not bad. I mean, if you're not into that kind of game, paint is like as boring as watching paint drying. Yeah.
It was. It wasn't like an intense, electric watch.
I actually enjoyed the game.
Me too. And I had, you know what? I got to
because I know how to take my mind and make it so that I can make it interesting because I'll find out how to make it exciting and stressful for myself. It's like I watch an ID network. I figure out how to stress myself out and scare myself.
It's just interesting to watch an NFL football game where they basically never pass the ball.
But it wasn't even passing. It's for me, it's watching the offensive line dominate the line of scrimmage.
No doubt.
And then the intense, like, oh, my God, are they going to come back? Oh, they did all this hard work, and they're getting ready to allow this team to come back. You know,
there was drama.
It's more so the conditions, like the weather, the conditions, the fact that Bill Belichick on the sideline, you know that it's just the Bills, it was their division, they're losing it, the Pats, it's all of that.
High stakes.
One. Yes.
Drama, as Key said, high stakes, as Jay points out. Ryan in Indiana, two words to describe last night's game.
Hey, good morning, guys. I got Buffalo Bulldozers for you.
Buffalo Bulldozers. Oh, because, see, the Patriots are the Bulldozers of Buffalo. But when you say Buffalo Bulldozers, it sounds like the Buffalo Bills are the Bulldozers.
Or it could be Buffalo got, but what is too many?
Yes,
too many words.
Three.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bulldozed.
We already talked about the criteria.
Yeah, we've been through this. All right. Ron in California has a Bryce Young question. What you got, Ron?
Well, my question is, why can't, Bryce Young have a red shirt year, so he gets drafted a year early. And like Pat Mahomes, I know he played one game, but you cannot touch the field. Even if it was a defensive end, you know, and you want to develop, you know, put some muscle on him. Why can't they change that? That way he doesn't get hurt in college, but, you know, he can start.
Well, he's not eligible.
NFL experience.
Because he's not eligible for the draft this year, period. So, and so for 2 years, right? So, eventually, he's going to get drafted.
Next year's draft, he's eligible.
Right.
2 years, he's been in school. 2 years, he has to be in school and graduating class 3 years removed from high
school. So it's not really two. It's two drafts.
Yeah.
Sorry, right. So the point is that I think the suggestion seems to be, guys, if you draft him, you essentially redshirt him in the NFL.
Yeah, but yeah. That's not the problem. The problem isn't if he can play in the NFL. He can play in the NFL. There's no question about it. The problem is, do you want to take a risk on a smaller quarterback like that? Forget who's drafting whatever. Is the team that has the number one overall pick that need a quarterback looking at him and saying, we could have this quarterback for 10 years? Is Matt Rhule saying, I like Bryce Young, I want that? Is he, or the Pittsburgh Steelers saying, I want Bryce Young?
I wonder if the game starts to change where you start to draft a guy who might you might think has half a dozen years, good years in him, but you maybe win a Super Bowl in that time.
I guess back, what's the difference? Because you drafted Sam Darnold, he ain't on the team after 4 years.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones on his way out, too.
I go back to Key's point before, though. All of a sudden, Bill O'Brien maybe gets a job opportunity, and he's falling in love with a guy like this because he's been around him.
Yeah,
that, right
it
coach.
Happens.
Yep. Yeah. Get the right
maybe,
coach.
Maybe he becomes a Giant.
I'll take him. I'll take him, Jay. I'll take him all day.
Let's stay focused on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there, too.
Focused,
Corey in Tennessee. We got a minute here, Corey.
I'm going to make this quick. The Vapors. These Marquis. That's what they got.
Remember the Vapors? Remember that, Key? They caught the Vapors. Yeah. So, wait, who caught the Vapors, though?
I want to say this to Keyshawn before you run me off the phone.
Okay.
You told me to call you back in week 12.
Yeah.
And you said, Washington, yeah, they'll be 2-9 and all that. Look, then came back and we got y'all next and we're going to surprise y'all.
I ain't know y'all because I don't play for the Cowboys. I play for ESPN. We ain't got a football team last I checked.
Look at you. You trying to get out the study, but you told me to call back and you said all that about the Cowboys, but I watched.
No, you don't
beat them twice.
Hey, put it this way. If y'all beat the Cowboys twice and win the division, they need to blow everything up in Dallas.
KJM is back tomorrow with Washington head coach Ron Rivera. That ought to be interesting. Plus Kurt Warner. As you know, Greeny is next here on ESPN Radio. We're back in the morning. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll